You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Kurt Owen, and welcome to Victory is Assured. We've been talking about knowing and believing the love of God and about how important it is, not just that you know about the love of God, but you actually believe it, and there is a difference. And we've been talking about some ways you could evaluate whether you really believe the love of God. Now, I encourage you once again to go to KurtOwen.com, KurtOwen.com. And if you've missed any of these broadcasts, our partners make it possible for us to provide these for you absolutely free. And even if you haven't missed them, this is such an important subject that you need to hear it over and over and over again. And let me also encourage you, there's other materials there that are absolutely free. Also, what you can sign up there that's absolutely free is we're doing a Knowing and Believing the Love of God daily devotional. You'll receive it as an email. It'll take you about 1 minute to read. It'll give you something to pray or something to stand on, but we'll help reinforce this down on the inside of you because we believe this is so important. Again, it is absolutely free. The partners of Kurt Owen Ministries pay for this. But we've been talking about the knowing and believing the love of God. Remember from 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Because God is love. Now, one of the things that you got to get a hold of this is it's funny that when you're sitting there and you're hearing these things about the love of God, they might be difficult for you to believe, right? They might be difficult for you to accept. You know, and it's funny, if you go here in 1 John 4:16, let's just look at it just briefly here for a second. Because if you were listening before, if you haven't, you should, about judgment in God. God doesn't want you to be afraid of judgment. And it says here in 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love, abides in God, and God in him. It's interesting that he identifies God as love, but no one ever identifies God as judgment. Does God judge? Yes, he is the righteous judge, but he is not judgment. He has judgment. He implements judgment, but he is love. I mean, even from the very beginning, you had the Ten Commandments, and they were placed inside the ark. But above the law was the mercy seat, the heavenly mercy seat. Now, does that mean that God will break his word or violate his justice just because he loves you? No, he won't. It means that he'll be merciful. It means that he will do everything he can, but it means to help you. It just means he's not out there looking to judge you. He's not wanting to judge you. He's not wanting to drop the hammer on you. I mean, if he was looking to drop the hammer, and we're going to look at this in depth, but with the woman caught in adultery in the very act, Jesus would have grabbed the stone and said, "Let's get her, guys." No, if he hates our sin more than he loves us, there'd be more incidences of Jesus just taking folks out, starting with some of his own disciples. Starting with Judas, he wouldn't have said, "Go your way." He would have said, "Dude, before you go out of here, I'm going to hit you with a bat." Because I'm going to be, anyway. But you need to identify God as being love. Now, there's people out there that, "But God is love, God is love." And then they say, "Well, I can live and sin, and it doesn't make any difference." It will not change God's love for you. I agree. That won't make a difference, but it will destroy your life, and you are testifying that you do not love nor trust God by your sin. God is love, so he just doesn't care what I do. Yes, he does, because when you love, you actually care more about what people do, not less. If you see your child about to touch a hot burner, if you love the child, you'll stop it. If you are perverse and don't love your child, you'll be sitting there going, "Let's see what happens." But you will tell your child, "Don't touch that burner." And you'll tell them his commanding voice is necessary. And a lot of times the don'ts that are in the scripture are the things that kill you, the things that destroy you. This is honestly, this is one of the reasons that people don't understand about Christians and homosexuality. I'm not going to talk about the Christians who just like want to just slam and destroy the homosexuals. That's not right. Why are you sitting there condemning the homosexuals when you lie, when you covet, when you steal? Because it's all sin. But one of the reasons, you know, I've had people call me homophobic. I'm not afraid of homosexuals. I actually love them and don't want them to embrace a lifestyle that is destructive for them. You know, our federal government says that you are multitude times more likely to encounter domestic violence in a same-sex relationship than in a heterosexual relationship. I don't want that for anybody. Multiple times more to commit suicide. People say, well, that's because they're persecuted. Listen, there are more gays on television than actually exist in real life. People are not attacking them anymore. I know that some Christians do. That's not me. I'm not attacking you because you're homosexual. I'm not afraid of you. Not afraid of your lifestyle. I just want you to have a life of peace and joy. And ultimately, I want you to have a life that lines up with the Scripture, because I believe that God knows what will make us happy better than I do and better than you yourself do. That's all. That's all. But you want to know what? If you're a homosexual, God still loves you. Don't let anybody tell you any different. By the way, if you're a homosexual, I still love you. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Do I want you to come out of the lifestyle? Yes, I do, because it's destructive. Because God says it's wrong. And if God says it's wrong, I've learned, whether I can see it at the time or not, that if I do what God says is wrong, even though it doesn't, I can't figure out why it's wrong, there will come a day that it will become evident why it's wrong. That's it. God is not trying to take away our fun. He's trying to take away the things that destroy us. Because God loves us. Because God is not judgment. God is love. Now, he still has judgment, and he will not override his judgment. If he says it's wrong, think about David here for just a second. I don't have time to really get into this, but think about David here for just a second. David was a man after God's own heart. David sinned and went after Bathsheba, and God did not say, you know what, David, I love you. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, David. No, that's not what he did. He said, you want to know what? I love you. You are a man after my own heart, but the rules apply to you too. God is love, but he does have judgment. That's one of the things that I wish people would understand about God, is you have to take all of his attributes and have them work together. You can't elevate one over the other. You can't elevate God is love over God is just. This is the reason Romans tells us that God sent Jesus to the cross, because he is just. And that our sin needed to be paid for, but he didn't want to send us to the cross. He didn't want to lose us, so he said, Jesus, will you pay the price so they can be restored to me? This is the love of God. This is the reason that we want you to receive Jesus. Because we believe that when you receive Jesus, that power comes into you. And it doesn't bring bondage, it brings freedom. It brings the ability for you to be who you've always wanted to be. You know, many people cannot be who they want to be, who they really are, because they don't believe God loves them enough to protect them if people saw who they really were. I know for years I lived in that fear. God, people knew what I was really like, they wouldn't love me. And then so I would act a certain way. I would act the way I was expected. But as soon as I found out how much God loved me, in particular with my father, you know, my father really didn't want me. He wished I'd have never been born, told me so on many different times. And so I spent a large part of my life trying to earn his love, trying to act the way he wanted me to act, to do the way he wanted me to, not really truly being me. But as soon as I found out how much God loved me, I could be me, because it really didn't matter whether my natural father loved me anymore. I had somebody that loved me completely, that had set me free from the fear of not being loved, because he'd poured out love to me. Now, because I loved him, I began to change the things that were sin, because I loved him, and I didn't want to hurt him after he'd done so much for me. My goodness, my goodness. Now, but we need to realize that God is love. Now, let me say this. Go with me to Romans chapter 31. Jimmy, how much time do I have left? 2 minutes. All right, I'm going to try to cover as much as this I can in 2 minutes. Here's the thing. It says, what shall we say then in verse 31? What shall we say then of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you believe that? I've heard people say, well, God is on, if you said God's on my side, and people say, well, no, you can't say that. God's almighty, God, he's not on your side. Well, he said he was on my side. He said he was for me. You need to begin to see yourself as a person that not that God is for, is against, but that he's for. You need to embrace that. And especially, listen, I will say this. God wants every man, woman, and child first and foremost to be saved. The reason he wants them to be saved is so that they can receive his love and they can be in fellowship with him and he can bless them the way they've always wanted to. I also need to be something clear with you. Not everybody is a child of God. I hear, we are all God's children. No, we are not. If you have accepted Jesus, you're a child of God. If you have not accepted Jesus, you're not. But God loves you and wants you to be his child. He is not looking at anything you've done wrong and disqualifying you from salvation. There's only one qualification for salvation. It is not to do perfect works. It is to receive Jesus. See, God is for us, and you need to believe that. He is for his children. And if you're not his child, he is for you getting saved, and then he'll be for you in everything else. But you need to begin to see God as being for you. Now, a lot of times people say, well, I just don't see how that's possible. You know what? You're a lot like the Apostle Paul, and we'll talk more about that next time. But you need to receive the love of God first and foremost in allowing him to save you by accepting Jesus' sacrifice. Listen to this from Michael. He'll tell you how you can receive Jesus. God loves you.
Kurt Owen wants you to know that God really loves you. He sent his son Jesus as a substitute for you. He took on your sins so you would not have to pay the penalty for sin. He also took on your sickness, disease, and injury so that you would not have to suffer from them. In order for you to receive the benefits of this redemptive power, you simply must accept Jesus as your Savior and make him your Lord. This is an easy and simple thing to do and will have wonderful eternal effects. All you need to do is believe that he is alive and that he loves you. If you want the power of the living God to change your life from the inside out, simply repeat this simple prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart. Please save me. I believe that you are alive and that you love me. And that you gave your life for me. I believe that because I am asking, you are becoming alive in me right now. You are making me a new creation. I give you my old life while I accept your life. I also make you my Lord. I commit to do what you say with the understanding that you will never burden me with things that I cannot do, but rather you lovingly teach me step by step. Holy Spirit, please also come into my life and empower me with the very power of God, the way that Jesus said you would. Father, thank you for giving your Son and making this provision for me, so that now I can actually call you Father. If you have just prayed this prayer, we would like to put a couple of things in your hand so that you will get some help on the path of your new life. Simply email the words, I have been saved, to connect@kurtowen.com. Everybody in this ministry will continue to pray for you. We all love you. And we all want you to have a wonderful, wonderful life in God. Welcome to the family of God.